We're today in continuing Simon Kufchav Simits Halachayud. We're talking about Keurig machines. And towards the middle, you'll find out why it's on this halacha. It connects to a one little prat that has to do with our halacha. Okay, we're talking about Keurig machines. This used to be a nice Keurig machine. It's here so we can talk about some of the details of how the machine works. Keurig machine, as you know, we have this little cute cup, and you stick it into the machine, and it makes a cup of coffee for you, an individual cup of coffee, fresh. Instead of having a pot that's old or an instant coffee, it makes you a fresh brewed cup of coffee. So they became very popular, and people want to know about Typhoon. No. We're going to talk about very specific parts of that question today. We're not going to talk about, in Mr. Shimon, two times from now, we're going to finally get to talking about whether electrical appliances in general need to be Typhoon, and whether maybe you should be excused from Tefillas Kelim because it's an electrical appliance. That we're going to get to in two times. For now, we're going to assume that even though it's an electrical appliance, it needs to be titled. Okay, that we're going to come with that assumption. What we're going to do today is, I'm going to explain to you how the machine works, some of the parts of it, with the little details about the tefillah. Then I'm going to say some reasons why potentially it should not, something specific to the Keurigs, why it should not need tefillah. And then someone's interesting idea of how to avoid tefillah. Okay, that'll be the end. Okay, let's talk about the machine first. The machine boils up water, keeps water hot all the time. And as I said, you stick the cup into this little hole over here, you close the machine down, and 30 seconds later, you have yourself a cup of coffee. Okay? The machine, the way I'm going to divide it, has four parts to it. Okay, the way I'm going to divide it, it has four parts. Okay, the first thing is, it's got an ambient water tank. Okay, that's this. Okay, it usually is exactly like this that it comes off. Okay, it tends to be all plastic. It comes off so you can go to the sink and fill it up with water. And in here sits water that's not hot. This is ambient water sits in here. In most cases, this thing is completely plastic, which would mean that it would not need to be titled, I think. It's completely plastic. There are some of them that at the bottom of this, there's a valve that lets the water out into the machine. Okay, so in some of them, the valves on the bottom there have metal parts to them. And we saw the Ramah said in Halacha Zayin, the Ramah says that if you have a machine that's inherently made out of, in his case, wood, something that doesn't need tefillah, and you have a spout at the end of it, which is metal, and that spout is functional, then you need to tefillah the kli. Even though the kli overall is a wooden kli, and wood doesn't need tefillah, or in this case, plastic doesn't need tefillah, if the spout at the end is just decorative, then you don't need to tefillah it. But if the spout at the end, the metal part at the end, is functional, somehow it makes it work better, then that needs to be titled. So then it would depend. If your piece on the bottom, the valve that opens and closes, is metal and has contact with the food, then even though this overall piece is all plastic, and plastic doesn't need to be titled, but the fact that the inlet-outlet is controlled by a piece of metal that touches the food would mean that part, then it would need to be titled, even though the overall, you look at this and say, come on, this is plastic, it doesn't need to be titled. You close the door, yes. Okay. So this is where the water comes in. We all have something like this. I should say, almost every one of the machines has that. Some of them have the water you just pour on the top. Okay, but any of the newer or the bigger machines have this piece that's on the side. Okay. That's all. Okay. From there, there's a pump. Okay? Which is to say, the water in here, the water all in here has got to get to the top here. Okay? So what goes on here is that the water gets pumped out of this ambient tank, gets pumped out of this ambient tank, and it gets pushed into the place where the water is going to get heated. I'll talk about that in a second, the heating cabin. Okay, the tubing and many parts of that pump are in fact plastic, and from themselves would not need tefillah, but there are metal parts to it. And that's going to depend on a machlokes. We had a machaber and the shach about whether a maimed, if something is playing an important, crucial role in making it function, which is metal, whether that makes it be chayvin tefillah. Okay, so far we have a water, this water tank and a pump, and from there it goes to our heating canister. Okay, the main part of the inside of this machine is this heating canister. Okay, it's this tall. My picture's coming of it soon. Okay, it's a cylinder in which the water gets heated up. It's metal. It has a heating coil coming into it. coming from the underside, has a heating element coming into it. It's got thermostat to it, of course, and it has, you know, I'm going to skip just so you can see the picture. It'll work better with the picture. Okay, this is the heating, what the heating canister looks like. This is, that heating canister is the one that's in here. You can play with the instruments. Okay, it has the pump. The pump is on the bottom left. Okay, it's not pointed. I don't know why the arrow's not there. And on the bottom left is the pump. Okay? You can't see it so well. It's behind the cup. That's the pump. Okay, and the pump, the water goes from the pump up through this hose. Okay, and this is the heating. This is the heating canister. This is a big hot water tank. And from this pump, the water basically goes from here up to where it gets brewed into the cup. Okay, this hose over here is going from the top of the pump. You can't see the connection. It's going from the top of the pump into the place where you brew the coffee from the top. Okay, this is an overflow. In case it gets too hot, it overflows out there. This is a drain from something else. Okay, but that's what's going on. The water is getting the water's getting heated in this big canister right here in the center. The bulk of the machine is this metal canister, and if you look at it, you say it's a metal canister for heating up water. That's not the push of the thing that you say, come on, that for sure should need to be sealed. We'll see that that's not so push it, actually. Okay, you look at this, you say, come on, it's a metal can. The Gemara says, kumkumim have to be heated, feeding hot water, need to be titled. So that would be the one that you say, come on, that's the most obvious. We'll see in a second whether that's really, in fact, is true. Okay. Then, from, as I said to you, the water then goes from here to the left to this area over here, which I call the brew area, okay, where the coffee actually gets made. Okay? Now, this brew, you take this cup and you stick it into the hole there, and you clamp this down and you make your cup of coffee. The place where the cup goes into actually has got a needle on the bottom of it. The place where the cup goes into has got a needle on the bottom of it. You can see it over here. There's a needle that pokes into the bottom of the cup, the bottom of the K-cup. It's the blue needle coming up on the bottom left. And it's also got a needle on the top of it. That's the blue needle coming from the top over there that pokes into the K-cup and calls a K-cup. And I have for you samples here of opened K-cups. If you look, you'll see that these are open up. You can hold them in your hand. These are cut open. And you see that what the K-cup's got into it is that there's this black, that one's on, I don't think that, if this is this nice plastic housing on the outside, but on the inside, there's a coffee filter, and inside that coffee filter are sitting the coffee grinds, okay, and one needle pokes into the top to squirt water through the coffee grinds. That's what the top needle is doing. It's going to poke in, and the water is going to come through and go through into the coffee grinds, and the other needle is poking from the bottom, not hitting the filter, so that as the water drips through the filter, through the coffee grind and through the filter, it drains out through this hole in the bottom, through the hole in the bottom here, and out here into your cup that's waiting here for your cup of coffee. Okay? The needles are another example of what I said to you before in Pundra Ma, that the needles are attached to plastic hose tubes. Everything else over here is plastic. But the needle is almost exactly what the Ramah says, that if you have something that doesn't need to, at the end of it has a spout that is made of a metal that needs to be titled, then the whole thing needs to be titled if it's functional. And of course it is, because plastic tubing is not going to poke through your K-cup the way it's supposed to. You need it to be metal to poke through over here and poke through on the bottom. Okay? So it's exactly an example of what the Ramah says, that when you have something metal that... at the end of something that doesn't need tefillah, in the most case it's wood, that doesn't need tefillah, but this is functional, then that makes the whole thing chayav in tefillah. So again, these needles, the top needle and the bottom needle, are seemingly, to us, we say they should need tefillah. Okay, so now that, hopefully, you understand how the machine works, okay, so now I have to tell you, someone came up with an idea. Why should this kli not need tefillah? Why should not need tefillah's kelim? Again, I told you, the electrical part of it, we're not talking about today. Someone had a reason why it doesn't need tefillah. They said, like, this is the part of the connection to Arthur. Chacham Sovin brings that in his day, people who made beer had these pots, the big pots that they cooked the beer in, and they didn't title them. And the Chacham Sovin has a whole lot to say about it, a whole in Nishma Sovin, a lot to say about it. To say, I don't understand why they don't title it. And he goes through different possibilities of why they might not title it. Okay, we're going to talk about different parts of that Chacham Sovin in different places. But after, at the end, he basically says, I give up. You really need to be titled. There's no justification for not titling you. He's like finished. And then it's like
what was it again for?
Beer. So then there's at the end, he has a like a postscript. He says, you know, maybe what the Ming Samlachan is that when you make the beer in this, the wort, in this pot, what he calls a pot, he says, when you finish making the beer is not ready to drink because you still have to filter it. It's not really ready to go. It needs some filtration afterwards. He says, so maybe they hold that this thing is not a clay suda because the thing that gets made in this pot is not something that you're ready to eat. And since it's something that's not ready to eat, therefore maybe it's not chayv in tefillah. Maybe that's what they're thinking, why it's not chayv in tefillah, because it's not finished and ready to eat. And he says, I'm not convinced. Okay? He's not convinced. That's the beginning
that's
part.
That's the practical reason why they didn't do it. It was a pain to do it.
He's a rabbi, you know. He's not sure whether it's practical or not practical. So he talks about whether being very big excuses you from tefillah, and he's not happy with that. But he talks about different parts about why it should not be chayv in tefillah. I don't remember if he talks. It could be he talks about that, but I don't remember. But we want is just the very end of it when he's convinced it needs tefillah. So he says like this. So the person said, the person says, well, if you think about this machine, that's going on the same thing, which is when you all the pieces in this machine until you get to here, all the coffee is not ready to eat yet. It makes all the things that it's doing until you get to this spot over here. All these things are not ready to eat. Also, they also need to be filtered. Okay, you don't drink. Think about it like this: you don't drink coffee with the coffee grinds mixed into it. That's why there's a filter paper here. He says so. The Chacham Sodom says some amela shouldn't be chayv. It wouldn't be chayv until because it's not yet ready to eat. So someone said so. Maybe the cure the whole machine until you get to right over here is not chayv until because it's not high material, because it's not the food is not ready to eat.
Any cocoa would be
because
but
it's hot water. It's already usable.
No.
Okay, so
I'm
so,
made the services.
Okay, good. You're
hot water just for hot water.
Okay, so there's four reasons that I come up with that some of you are saying. Four reasons I come up with why we would think this is not good. Okay. First is, Chacham Sodom says, wait a second. He says, if you remember, this that I'm describing, that I'm telling you, something that's not yet ready to eat, it's exactly the din. It's in Halacha Hei of Sakan Shor Shechita. Okay? Sakan Shor Shechita, you have a knife that's used for Shechita, means that you use it for making food ready, but when you finish the Shechita, the food is not ready to eat yet, it still needs a lot of steps before you're ready to eat the food. So the Machaber says, Sakan Shor Shechita is not Chayv in Tefillah, and the Ramah says, Toivu boy bracha. The Ramah says we should be machmer and toivu because even if it's not yet ready to eat right now, it's part of the process of making food edible, and therefore you should toivu it. So over here, it's true that the food might not be ready to eat at that point. Maybe when you make the beer, it's not yet ready to eat, but it's a thing it's in the process of making food edible, and if it's in the process of making food edible, so then the Ramah says, Ashkenazim, you should do tefillah. Okay, toivu boy bracha, the Ramah says. Okay, he says, and if you might remember, he's Maram is at this. There's a machlokes there, Taz and Shach, about whether exactly which case it's talking about. Okay, this case qualifies even according to everybody that the Ramah would say toivu boy bracha. Okay, that's a pride. He's Maram is at it. I was Maram is at this. Okay. So second is the cured machine is not only used for making coffee. You can't run the machine if you don't close this thing down on the top. Okay, if you don't close down the top, there's a control switch there. If you don't close it down, you can't get water to come out of it. But they tell you, and there are people who do, use it just to make a cup of hot water. Okay, if you just put the machine down like this and put it through, you can get just hot water out of it. You can make hot cocoa out of it, which is not filtered. And there are things that you can get into a K-cup that don't have a filter altogether. Or there are people literally who make just plain hot water in the machine. So if you can, in the person who's putting the beer, there you say the beer wasn't ready to eat when it came out of this pot. But over here, people are going to use the pot in a way, the machine in a way, that's not going to be chayv.
Beer kettle can make water too.
So the Chachzon says that. So the Chachzon says, you could use it as a regular pot. That's with the shach over there also. But over here, it's not just that you could, people actually will. When you buy this machine, you're going to, 9 times out of 10, you can make a cup of coffee, but the other times you're going to use it for just plain hot water, and then you have to just for that. I'm not saying because you could. You actually will use it. At that time, you're going to have to.
So if you don't,
then if you could get yourself out of it, right? If you would never use it like that, that's correct. Okay.
If you use it for hot water, you don't need the metal stuff.
You don't need the metal stack, but you need the heating canister. Okay. So you need all the parts to it. That's the metal stack. Okay. Okay, next is, in the case of the beer, after the beer came out of this pot, what you call the pot, then you have to filter it. That's a little different than our case, where it's not like you have to go someplace else to finish the process. Okay, it's one big machine, and at the end of finishing this machine, you have a cup of coffee. So this machine makes edible coffee. It happens to be that at one stage in the process, it's not edible. It's not like the beer, that when you finish with my pot, this pot, it's over. The pot is finished being used, and it's not edible. It's not edible yet. Over here, when the whole machine is finished, the food is edible. It just, in the middle, it happens to not be edible. Okay, so the fact that in the middle, for a second, it's not edible, doesn't count. And last is all of this would only help us until we get to the bottom needle. Okay, all that we said until here is only going to help until the coffee gets filtered. Once it passes through the filter and it gets into the bottom needle it only touches finished food that's ready to eat. So the bottom needle behind the needle, I guess the bottom needle, in this case, you could pull it out. You can't always. In this case, you can pull it out. So it doesn't seem to solve the problem from this half a second. Okay? So before we go on to this person with his new idea, I'll just remind you, I said already a few times already, that we're not going to talk about whether the fact that it's an electrical appliance should patent from Thielscalum. And there's one other thing, which is that there's a technical issue with doing Thielscalum on here. And that is, it's physically impossible, as I see, it's impossible to get water into that metal tank. Okay? When we title something, you have to fill the insides of it. You have to get it completely filled with water. Okay? Well, you can't, because the only way to get water into there is to have it pumped into there. Okay? Water doesn't flow into there. It needs to be pumped into there. So if water needs to be pumped into the machine and you can't get water into there, maybe it's impossible to title it because you can't fill it up with water. Okay? We're going to wait till almost the very end, at the end of Simon Reish Beis, we'll talk about that, whether there's such a din of basis starum, whether basis starum of chayvin tefillah. You know, Mircha Shem did at the end, very end of Reish Beis, we're going to talk about it. Then that's another potential reason, because you can't get water into it. It's not like an urn that you can fill it up with water or a cup. Here, you can't get water into that canister just by sticking it in it. Okay. So now we move on to the other part, which is, for whatever reasons we said, and all kinds of people believe that you need to tevel your kurig. Well, they want to tevel your kurig. They think you're supposed to. Well, they don't want to use it without teveling, whichever way it is. Okay? So came along somebody, living Lakewood. He came up with an idea. He says, you're right. You have to tevel it. He says, I have a solution for the problem. He said like this. Chachmas Adam, based on our din, indirectly based on our din, says that if you have a kli that was made by someone who's not Jewish, then you're chayvin Thielscalum. What happens if the kli got broken to the point that it's not usable anymore, and now a yid was the one who made the kli usable again? So the Chachmas Adam says, if the yid made it usable again, then it's as if a yid made that kli. If the yid made the kli, it's not chayvin Thielscalum. So even though it originally was made by someone who's not Jewish, the kli inherently was made by someone not Jewish, but if it broke to the point that it was not functional, and a yid recreates it, then it's considered like the yid made it. So it's understood that when Chafson talks about being broken, he means it's broken enough that it was what's called a ma'isa uman. It would take an uman to fix it, or it takes an uman to put the thing back together. So the person says, you know, it doesn't help just to pull it out of the wall. You know, if you unplug it from the wall, it won't work either. You know, because that's not going to do the trick. You have to do something that would take an uman to break it. To fix it. So, like, you know, now obviously the simple way to do it would be to drill a hole in the heating canister, you know. But of course, no one wants to do that. Okay. So the guy said like this. He says, I have an idea. I'll do like this. He said, I mentioned more than once, the machine doesn't function without the pump. Okay? Without a pump, you get nothing. You could, I guess, theoretically heat up water, but you can't move water around, you can't get water to your K-cup, you can't get water to the heater, nothing happens without the pump. So what he said was, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to make the pump be broken, I'm going to make the pump be broken in a way that an uman would have to fix it, and then I'll fix it, I'll be the yid who will fix it, I'm an uman who will fix it, and now I have the pump, the machine was made by a yid. Okay? So what he does is, he says soldering is he considered to be Maisu Umar, which, after watching him and learning more about Sadr, that's correct. Most average people don't know how to Sadr. So he says there are connections in most of the curates. The connections are made by Sadrin. He has an eitzah for people who don't have, where it's not Sadr. I, living in Lakewood, will unsadr your machine. I'll unsadr the connection. Now it's broken. Totally not functional. And then I'll re-sadr it. And when I sadr it, now we've made the machine. And now it's good. Okay, so...
How much did he charge?
He's not doing this for money. No, he charged him. I was like, come on, Mom. I watched him do it on someone's machine. It took him a minute. He charged a minimal amount. Nothing. This is not a money-making business. You know, he has two other businesses that I remember that he has, that he's involved in. So he asked first one of the places in Lakewood. His name is Shmuel Meerkatz. He said, what do you think about this idea? What would you think about just make the pump do like this and like this? Would that be good enough? So he said to him, Shmuel Meerkatz said to him, he says, you can't look at the heating canister as an independent thing. He says, because if we just ripped that piece out, if we took the canister out, you can't see it from here. When you poke around, you'll see better. The thing can't even stand straight. It has the wires and pieces coming out of it. It can't even stand straight. Which is to say, by itself, it's not a functional unit. That canister wouldn't work. It only works as part of a bigger picture. We understand that. It doesn't do anything just sitting by itself. So you have to look at the whole machine as a total machine. And as a total machine, if we make part of it that makes it not work, that's good enough. Okay? Now, pause now for a second. We spoke about last time about urns and pump pots, about how much the yid has to own. And I had mentioned then that we're going to see here that if you look at the machine as a whole, you say each piece by itself is not functional. It needs to be functional all by itself. Then, if we want the yid to own the machine back by the urn, we want the yid to own it, he's going to need to own the whole thing. He's going to need to own all the parts. He needs to own all the electrical pieces and all those parts. Also, if you want to hear the nakel and say it's one big machine, then over there you have to be machmir and say it's a big machine also. Okay, unpause. Anyhow, so he said it. Yes, it's good enough. It breaking up would be good enough. Okay, when I was in Lakewood to see this, not the only reason. I was in Lakewood to see this, so I went to ask Rafi Bacon what he thought about that. Whether he thought that idea also, with breaking the pump, make it work also. So he said he agreed also, and he said for the following reason. This was his marshal. He said, let's say a person buys a cup for his house, and the goal of that cup is he's going to buy that cup to water his plants. He says, Chayvin Tfilas Kelo? Of course not. It's not Klesuta. It's a cup. You could really drink out of it, but I bought this cup as to water my plants. If I want the cup to water my plants, it's not Klesuta to me. Okay? It's actually a Din Shulchan Aruch. If you buy a knife, Lachlich Boy Klofen, you got to cut paper, then Hagam, that knife could be used for cutting food. It's not a Chayvin Tfilas Kelo because it's not bought for food. So he said, in theory, that canister can heat up hot water, and you could drink that hot water. He says, but that in itself is not functional. That has nothing to do with food. Nobody would take that and heat up hot water. It's like using it for watering your plants. It's not a thing that you would use as is to heat up hot water. The only reason why you use it, what makes it into a clay suda, is because it has this whole contraption that can make cups of coffee. That's what makes it usable for suda. That makes it not a coffee, not a flour cup. Now all of a sudden it's a food cup because you could use it to make coffee. This whole machine together is what makes it clay suda. So if the whole machine together makes it clay suda, then breaking the non-heating parts is good enough to make it to be good. Okay, so far so good. Okay, so far we're so good. These two, Rav Barnum and Lakewood, told them that's good enough. One told him and one told me that's good enough. If you break breaking all the parts of the machine is good enough. So he comes up and says, "There, he knows how to open all the machines. His doesn't look as broken as mine does. He knows how to open and close them all wonderfully." And he unsiders it, siders it back together, and you're out the door. Okay. However, we have a problem. The problem is like this: the connection that he this is the motor. It's actually the motor, the connector that's in there. That he would solder and unsolder, okay? And if you see hanging there is a wire. See the wire hanging down from the top? That's the wire that was removed. And it goes into that loop that's over there. Okay, that's the connection to the motor. You can imagine the bottom of that is the motor. Okay, so that was soldered originally. He unsoldered it, and then he solders it back on. So we say like this. It's true that, you could rip it off. Anybody could rip it off. Or you could unsolder it. But what we need is that it takes an Uman to fix this. And the question is, does it take an Uman to fix this? Because It's true that the solder back on takes an uman, but it doesn't take an uman to thread it through the hole. Anybody could stick it through the hole, and if you stick it through the hole, the machine will work perfectly fine. If you want a permanent connection, you're going to solder it together. But if you just want it to work, you have to stick it through the hole. And if you stick it through, it's just a hole. If you stick it through the hole, it's going to work just fine. The soldering is nice, and it conducts a little bit better, and it's permanent. But really, if you want it to work, just sticking it through the hole is going to make it work just fine. So, what?
Put electric tape.
Hey, put electrical tape. That's what's here anyhow. Put some electrical tape on top of it, and it'll work just fine. So, Revival called, what he thought about that. By then I was out of town, so I sent my son, well, he has Revival. And he said, what do you think about that? He said, what do you think it would take? Well, would that be good enough? So he said, Revival said, put it in. He says, if it's good enough that you can make 10 cups of coffee with that, then that's fine. Then that means it's really connected, and the guy's just trying to make it permanent. If you couldn't make a couple of cups of coffee with it, then it's not really connected at all. Okay, so we came back home, we took the machine, and we connected it back together, we stuck it through the wire. The only tape I was doing it in, you could buy it yourselves, the only thing we could find to connect, if we didn't have electrical tape, that's a post-it note, okay? That blue thing is the sticky part at the end of a post-it note, okay, that we just stuck on it. So if you think, he's a plumber, but this is not a Maizu'uman, okay? And we stuck it in, and we made well more than 10 cups of coffee, okay? And we didn't make coffee, we were just running water through it.
No, we weren't drinking it.
We were just running water and running on with these kids running around the house. And it just kept on going and going and going, okay? So according to the criteria that Revival sent to us, it turns out that the person who's saying that he's breaking it, his breaking is a Maisa Uman. But the fixing that this takes, need a Maisa Uman, it appeared to us that it didn't, okay? So just the end of that story was, I'm skipping one part of the story. But so he said, so then, if that's true, then this would not be good enough. We asked somebody else what they thought about that idea, and that person said, they said, what do you mean you can stick it through? He says, only an uman would even know where the wire belongs to. He says, how would anybody know that the wire is supposed to go into that hole? He says, how would a person know? So we said, wait a second, this is a rabbinic person. We said, wait a second, your machine is broken, there's a wire hanging, and there's a loop right next to it. Isn't it obvious that the wire was into there? He says, not obvious to me. How would anybody know that thing? So it may boil down to whether you think, what you think your average person
does. Same child that was Chalom Moed.
That what?
Comes fixing a car, let's see. The only thing you have to do is fix this little wire. But you need a mechanic to figure out what the problem is with the car. Is that a Maisa Uman or Maisa Hen?
Okay, but in this case, okay, you're saying is because the actual, the Malacha is not, right, but he's coming even from simpler than that. He's saying is that nobody would know that belongs there. This is not a mechanic. You don't need a mechanic to see this. If you look and you see the wire dangling right next to the thing, especially when the guy just ripped it off, it's sort of, to me, it seemed obvious. I don't know how to solder, but to me, that seemed obvious. And he said, no, that's not obvious. How would anybody know that? So maybe it depends how technical you are, how sophisticated you are.
You're assuming the cover is off the machine. If the cover is on the machine, nobody's going to know why it's broken.
Wait a second. When we're talking that he is about to fix it, the cover's off. That's it. The guy broke it, and he said, and now it needs an uman to fix it. Does it need an uman to fix it now? No. Right now, the way we're standing today, it doesn't need an uman to fix it.
It needs an uman to take off the cover.
Right? No, the cover's off already. He just broke it. When he broke it, now we're standing here saying, for 30 seconds, it's only broken for 30 seconds. He broke it, he says, okay, it needs an uman to fix it. What are you kidding? An uman? Everyone can see that the wire needs to go back. Okay, so that was a difference of opinion. That, I guess, however you think about that, whether what the person is doing is or is not good enough.